Welcome to the Contact Center Expert Show. This show is hosted by Nancy Monroe, CEO of Verbal Transactions, a voice enablement technology company. Join our discussion on how you can make your contact center a well-oiled machine.
All right, everybody. I am very excited about our guest today, Kathleen, and I'm going to give her this fantastic introduction. It is with great pleasure and excitement that I welcome Kathleen Peterson this morning. Kathleen is Chief Vision Officer at Powerhouse Consulting. Powerhouse is an internationally recognized management consulting firm specializing in contact centers and telecommunications. Kathleen has more than 30 years in the customer care industry and is today's most sought-after experts with consulting partners in the field of customer experience. She is hailed as a true visionary, which I'm sure you will hear today in our conversation. She is the author of many stirring articles and is published often and widely in the most prestigious industry journals in the U.S. She's had both the privilege of working with hundreds of organizations across many industries, and she's been sought after for her realistic and down-to-earth insights. To quote Kathleen, "I'm not a talking head. I'm less about theory and more about practice." So you're going to hear that today in our interview. So let's welcome Kathleen to our conversation.
So today's topic is teaching vendors how to listen. And Kathleen, I think you have a lot of experience around helping vet out different technology applications and solutions for your vendors. And it seems like you've got a lot of experience in vendors not listening to you.
Well, I think anyone who has a lot to do with the vendors has a lot of experience with them not listening. Ha, just kidding. I think what we see, we help our clients to acquire technologies within the contact center, whether they're voice-related, whether they're data-related, or whether they're the peripherals, knowledge management, recording gear, workforce management. So we're exposed to a lot of their preparation around and their delivery of their demos. And we've found some serious deficiencies in this, what should be a wonderful opportunity, since it's usually only the finalists who are asked to give a demo.
Sure.
One would like to imagine they would think of that as a, you know, acknowledgement that they're very near the selection process and should really put their best foot forward.
Right, absolutely, yeah, and I've been in their shoes too, and it's you don't want to break the rules when you're at that stage of the game.
Yes, and we see that there are certain things that people can do, from my experience, that would provide a way to contextualize what they're trying to do, and I think, you know, it starts with something as simple as let's get the name of the client correct. Most of these folks, you know, have received an RFP or a request for a proposal or information or something, which typically pretty clearly identifies the client's actual name. And we have seen, as absurd as it might sound to some, that the time it takes to really get the right name isn't a lot of time, but when you get the wrong one and then you pepper your presentation with the wrong name, it's like the client's being stung every time you say, you know, Boston Hospital instead of maybe, you know, their official name, whatever it might be. I'm just using that as an example.
Sure.
So that seems silly, but we've seen it, you know, more than once. I think for some people, the demo becomes more of a demolition, you know, than a demonstration.
right. That's
the least thing
you
want to
do. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And it's, you know, I think it from knowing their name to really looking at who is present in this demo. Who is the demo for?
Mm-hmm.
We know there are at least three target audiences, right? We've got, you know, IT, who is very often the first to cast the net for services on behalf of the contact center. But they have a different sort of needs. They want to know how it's administered, and they want to know how it's programmed and how open the architecture is. The user community is a second group. They have a whole – they want to know why they should start using this. What is it going to do for them, and how hard or easy is it to make it happen? The third group that we are often bringing to a demo are the executive sponsors, the people at the top of the shop, if you will, who, you know, quite honestly, if you look at something like recording equipment, their level of familiarity with call recording is pretty much your call may be monitored or recorded for quality assurance purposes. You know, they just want to whiz bang, show me what it does for the agents that I put in a seat. They don't necessarily want to go through the back door of how you administer it and how many drop down menus there are and how many options that you have to execute on this, that, or the other thing. That's not their, you know, that's below their pay grade, so to speak.
Right, right.
So and when we look at those things, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, as I say, do you see organizations, do you think it would be better if they had separate meetings based upon the audience?
We almost always have separate meetings based on the audience.
Okay.
The sponsors and the you may find that the user community is allocated to either IT or the executive presentation. So they're if they have a role within their enterprise as sort of domain experts, that they are considered to be the people who will know best as to how this is going to impact, you know, performance or efficiency or quality, then that's sort of a great nod to that team of people because they're recognized. It's not always the case. And sometimes even the demos are only really being provided to IT. It really depends on the client. And if I, I don't generally see an only IT situation, but in enterprises where IT makes, the enterprises where the contact center might get the ugly memo that says your new phone system's being installed on Friday.
Right.
Well, what new phone system is that? It's like the one you bought.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yep.
So
there
is a certain amount of cultural realities within enterprises that also show something about the organization, honestly. Not just the just the vendor, but that's all another another show.
Sure, exactly. Yeah. And have you seen somebody doing it really well or somebody that did it in a different way that you were like, oh, well, that makes sense?
Well, I think we just recently had a situation where we have the competing vendors in the, workforce management quality world. And, they're not that far apart. One had some significant features that were appropriate for it to be considering, A over B. B came in with I'm going to say from a demo perspective, they did a really good job. Because they focused on making it look easy. Okay, so this is really easy to do. It's easy to administer. It's easy to install. It's easy to integrate. Not all of which is necessarily true, mind you. However, the essence of their messaging was, this is easy. Not this will fit your needs, but this is easy, which resonated, of course, with this user executive audience. The vendor who was really their better choice from being able to meet their, they have a global footprint and they have a multi-site environment with different organizations going to be served from the same tool. Well, they made their demo, look like you were going to have to land carrier-based aircraft. So, when one of the audience members asked about the complexity that it appeared to be, you know, showing, or they appeared to be mm-hmm. demonstrating, you know, rather than answer by promoting their excellent implementation routines, their robust training, their being on site with all of those things, unlike the other guys who never send anyone on site, and that they, you know, would, if it were me, I would have said, you know, I have to really apologize for making this look difficult. Let's go back out to the front end, and here's really where the users are going to rest. He was like,
right.
The answer he had was, well, most people figure it out. You know, and it's like I'm in the room dying because these are the people I want them to select. And I'm just absolutely dying because it's like there's a if you're a salesperson, and really we all sort of are, if you can't take a hint or a cue from your audience queries, then you really need to take another step back. Because clearly that person just told you what's really important to them. And honestly, the systems are not, you know, that far apart in terms of what is required. And, and it was just a huge miss. I mean, they did wind up winning the bid, but it was their demo didn't help them.
Wow. Yeah, and I see that a lot. I see that a lot. You know, you've got some kind of engineer in there, and they want to, they just are feature overload.
Yeah, we call them speed talkers and tornado navigators.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the speed talker is going so fast that it's very difficult to keep up with that person. And I think one of the distinctions that we have to understand in this modern world that we live in, once upon a time, demos would be done in person. The vendor would send the sales team to the premise. The audience would be live. You would have that human exchange of energy that no matter how hard you try, no matter how good the technology is, when you don't have that, you have to accommodate the creation of that energy in a different way. And the way we see that working is, first of all, look at your rate of speech. And literally, there are various rates of speech that need to be practiced so that you don't lose the audience in that simple, and I'm sure this is your work. So you know that, you know this inherently. That if you're talking at the speed of an auctioneer, you're going to lose your audience because it's a human factors element.
It's science too.
Exactly. It's, 150, 160 words per minute. I always ask, even people in the contact center, when we're working, you know, with that whole voice utilization as from an agent perspective, is take a paragraph that has 150 words and read it until you do it in a minute. And there's your rate of speech.
Right.
You know,
it's pretty simple, but that's such a good, you make an excellent point that I think people miss almost 90% of the time. And I've done a lot of research around this. There's a company out of Texas that does a lot of studies around voice and the rate of speech. And the slower that you talk, it actually builds a sense of trust, which is exactly what you're trying to do at that stage of the sales process.
It almost, you know, gives me goosebumps when I think about the fact that that's exactly what it is, Nancy. It's trust. Trust yields confidence. Mm-hmm. It's the old partnership and advice. I can't give you advice until I build a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are in a virtual communication environment, the human factors, if you're not considering them, you're missing a huge part of the experience for your audiences. You know, and so that's, you know, sometimes I think people have eye rolls over this, but it's only because the thing I find about a lot of these things that we write and we broadcast and we talk about, that thing that's most challenging is when an offender cannot see themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I had a conversation with a vendor president recently, and they're preparing a demo of their tool for one of our clients. And we went through this story about having had previous demos and our dissatisfaction with them and wanting to really, you know, see it before they delivered, and they were offended. But it's like, hey. And he said to me, he goes, well, you know, we do 2-3 demos a week, and so far we're doing all pretty well. It's like, okay, you don't see yourself. If you can't see yourself, you are the leader of this group. If you can't see it, then how is it ever going to improve? And, you know, if you're doing pretty well the way you're doing it, imagine how well you could be doing.
You don't want more business?
Right. It's like, okay, well, I guess I must have had my lines crossed or something. You know, and I think the customization to, you know, we had a demo for a system that was, it was the client's a healthcare provider, and the entire demo was based on banking and finance, and the healthcare provider, had it been the billing operation, that might have been okay, but it was the centralized scheduling. So it just, you know, I'm in the room with the people, the vendors, the WebEx, and you could just see the waning interest because it wasn't structured in their world. So the customization can be as simple. Let's use the same industry.
Yes. Well, and even asking, you know, even let's start at a trade show and you're walking around, you know, I'll walk up to a booth, might be my competitor even, and I'll just say, tell me about your product. And they jump right into it versus not asking, you know, well, what are your needs? What are you looking for?
And trade show is the perfect example. You know, you walk around and they've got big signs. We're going to reduce your cost. We're going to improve customer experience. We're going to improve efficiency. And exactly what is, I've had the exact same experience you're describing. They don't even have a single question about who you are, what you do, what you're looking for, what's your top two challenges. They almost, it's just, if those kind of things could be integrated into the vendor community's interactions, I think it would elevate those folks faster than the people who just, you know, the navigation through the application drives me out of my mind, honestly.
Yes.
Because,
yes,
you know, how about enlarge your cursor so people can actually see what you're doing?
Yes.
Not flying through drop-down menus and, you know, tabs and folders and files, and it's dizzying. And when you do that without an agenda, because a lot of these meetings begin without even a real agenda. I mean, you know, I wrote an article a few years back called Lazy Does It. I didn't make that line up. It came out of the Wall Street Journal. But a lot of this thing, these behaviors in my mind, and, you know, I'm guilty of, you know, of being old, in the older, you know, world, that when we were, you know, when I was a kid, you know, we worked our butts off creating demos and making them custom and getting, you know, real live scenarios so that we could, you know, craft the messaging around their particular. Now they go in and they sell the box. They don't go in and sell the solution. Yes. They go in and sell the box. And I think that's another sort of indication to me, you know, the further away you get from the manufacturer, you know, because now we have the manufacturer, and then we have the value-added resellers, and, you know, who knows who else. And the margins get skinnier and skinnier as you go down that road, and the consequences are they cut the pre-sales stuff, or they cut the experts. You know, a lot of the vendors, you know, today get rid of the people who have been there for 20-plus years that know everything. And the consequences are, you know, you're kind of stuck with people who the world has turned into task drivers. You know, this is your task. This is what you do, this part. They do this part. And but no one's doing the research or the oversight for the whole story to be told in a way that's compelling and wants people, makes people want to buy your stuff. You know,
I
just think it's an opportunity that is missed by a lot of manufacturers and vendors out there peddling their wares.
And it's mind-boggling because you have so much more information at your fingertips than you did 10, 15 years ago. You know?
Well, and
it's
all
just
you
crazy.
Have to do is look it up. You know, it's just incredible to me. You know, we handed someone a demo, a custom demo, and when it was a knowledge management organization, and when they got to that scenario in the demo, she talked so quickly and went over it so fast, they barely recognized it as their scenario and how this tool was going to help them. It was mind-boggling.
Oh, wow.
And it delayed they eventually acquired it, but that failure delayed that purchase by a good 16 months, I would say.
Before, wow. Oh, my gosh.
You know, they could be kind of brought back into the fold because they had been so unimpressive, you know, and that's honestly, sometimes it just makes me scratch my head.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
but I'm an optimist, Nancy, so I always think it can get better.
It can get better, and you know, I think part of the problem is you've got sales managers out there that are also carrying quota. They're not taking the time to teach these reps how to actually manage these conversations. And therefore, they're just kind of left on their own devices, and they figure they'll just keep hiring enough that, you know, the good ones will rise to the top, and the bottom ones will fall to the bottom, and the middle ones will just kind of struggle.
Yeah, and so be it. You know, it's kind of the it's the shoulder shrug that drives me. You know, it makes me it's too bad because certainly there's, you know, the need for technology is constantly advancing, and I think what we're going to see and what we're seeing, you know, occurring is more and more people are hiring an interim to represent their needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do an enormous amount of acquisition for our clients because, you know, a lot of these folks are just weary. They're weary from the lack of expertise. So the expertise has to be brought in from the outside because of what you just said. They're not educating people. You know, you might spend 5 weeks in a classroom about what things do and no time in how to communicate and apply you know, these techniques or technologies to different events that yield something back to the strategic objectives of the company. You know, does it help us grow? Does it improve efficiency?
Yeah.
Is it going to improve our quality? And tell me how that's going to happen, because saying yes to those questions isn't enough.
No, exactly. Now give me an example of how. So, so for my last question here, you know, as you look forward down the path of, you know, some of the clients that you work with, what would you say would be, for those vendors listening out there, what would be the one or two things they can change to provide a better experience for your clients?
You know, and I think that's a good question, and I don't want to have an answer that seems simplistic, but I think the real answer is it's great to know what your technologies do, but you have mm-hmm. to know how it applies. And we get to how it applies by understanding who the audience is, what are their objectives,
mm-hmm.
what are the challenges that they're facing, and be able to craft that into a story. So you're not doing a demo. You're really telling a story, a persuasive story that,
mm-hmm.
you know, just follows those simple rules. You know, use the client's name. Know your audience. Prepare your presentation. Don't navigate
yep.
as a tornado. Stop speaking so fast. Get an ability to customize that demo and invest the time to plan. Now, really, none of those things require an MBA. It
no.
just requires
yep.
the will and the confidence that by taking steps to actually address the demo as a unique and individual, you know, something that's standalone. This isn't just part of the sales process. Make this thing stand up on its own
mm-hmm.
and say, you know what,
mm-hmm.
I understand who you are. I don't even want to minimalize it by saying that to me, it's not hard.
Yeah, it's not.
You're absolutely right.
It
takes the most. It requires something of our most precious resource, which is time. But
in my
mind, if you use a simple process and pattern to how you prepare, your business will be better represented, and your
mm-hmm.
completion rate will increase. That's my belief.
Awesome. Well, I think our audience is going to take that advice to heart.
I love it.
And they love you. You're a rock star.
I'm taking a bow. Thank you. I appreciate it. I really appreciate the opportunity, Nancy. Thank you very much.
Sure. No, this has been great, and we'd love to have you on again in the future.
Love to, too. I'd love to be back. Thanks very much.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Mm-hmm.